I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome. It's the Steakhouse. Give me some volume on that, baby. Let's crank it up. Let's feel it. Let's feel the energy. Let's feel the magic. Let's feel the fastest 2 hours in radio. And the queen is here, Sandra Golden.
Hello!
So we are excited to see you.
Thank you. After a weekend away.
And lots going on here, obviously, over the next 2 hours. Hey, get the Odyssey app. You're really going to want it for March Madness. You're really going to want it for a phenomenal group of Sweet 16 games that are coming up. We'll have the games for you, I think, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got to look at the Hawks schedule and everything else. But regardless, when games end, we're back at it. We have the full feed for you all weekend long. There's nothing like driving around, listening to the tournament. The Odyssey app also gives you United games, Falcon games, Hawks games. And I would imagine the Masters and everything else that you want to hear. So that's the beauty of Westwood One on radio, and that's the beauty of this radio station that's going through a heater, as they say, and having a great run. Feels like everybody's listening to us these days and the whole station. So make sure you get that Odyssey app and listen all day long, even not on your radio. Listen on the Odyssey app. What's happened in your life? I haven't seen you in 4 days.
I got the finger today driving into work, like the middle finger, and that hasn't happened to me in, goodness gracious, 2 decades.
What is it that you could have done to warrant that?
Well, I let this guy in. Yeah. Well, listen, I let this guy into traffic, which I always let people into traffic. I just feel like that's a nice thing to do. So I let him into the traffic on 20, and then I speeded up ahead of him. And I was like, gonna get back in. You know, I was pulling up and he gave me the finger. I let him in and then he gave me the finger.
So, how do you react to that? Do you just have to train yourself?
I'll tell you exactly what I did. I bet that guy's having a terrible morning and I wish him well.
Wow.
And then I giggled to myself. Like, that's just such a typical reaction, the finger. It's such an easy road rage in your car where you say things you would never say to people, like, it's such a loser move to me, but I'll pray for that young man, and we wish he has a great day.
What does our friend Mel Robbins say? Let them. If you're that angry, let them. Don't let it affect your day. I'm sure it's not easy for women, but I can tell you for men, you really have to train yourself, especially in a city like Atlanta. Are you really?
Yeah.
Because I will feel the blood pressure go immediately up when somebody does that to me. Like, now it's your manhood, and now it's your how dare you, and now all these things, when really what you should do is the reaction you had. What am I going to do, engage in this nonsense back and forth? Yeah. And I'm going to get myself all riled up instead of just taking a deep breath and being like, okay. Even better, like you said, that person's clearly
unhappy. Yeah, I know he's having a bad day. He's having a bad day, and I'm going to have a great day.
But it was an easy ride from the lake.
Yeah. Beautiful morning. Pollen count, y'all, yesterday was over 3,000. They said it's the earliest that it's been that high in like 112 years.
So day-day.
I just made that number up.
Day-day was out and about yesterday, and I was just going to recommend listening to the White Lotus podcast, because the White Lotus, what's the word I use? The zeitgeist, which means it is permeated pop culture, and everybody's talking about it. It's one of those shows like The Sopranos or Game of Thrones or something. And you said you heard somebody last night talking about
several parents at my son's baseball league over at Smyrna Little League. They were talking about The White Lotus, and they were asking each other had they all been watching it. And one of the dads was like, well, it must be good because they're talking about it on sports radio.
Yeah.
Welcome into the Steakhouse. That's great. You and Drew sounded great yesterday. I really enjoyed the show. Josh Pastner was as good as it gets. I love him for the tournament.
I'm so proud of he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
And he's gotten so much better as a broadcaster, as a journalist.
Journalist!
But that's short-lived because
Sanse,
he's got the UNLV job, and you were asking me about
it. I said,
it.
Is that a great gig for him? Could he have gotten something better? And you went on and on. So you think it's a good gig?
Yeah, well, first of all, he wants to get back in coaching. So what's interesting is he's got a nice life, got a nice settlement from Tech. He's on the Big Ten Network. He's on Peacock. He's on NBC. He's on ESPN. He's grown his broadcast career, but he wants to coach. And coaches want to coach for the most part. Very rarely do you end up behind a microphone and say, I'm good.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers, not so much. Steve Kerr, not so much. Second gig, third gig. Dude, you got a great broadcast gig. What's the deal? No, I want to go coach. So he had made that clear. I think it was Kent Seguira may have done the article. I mean, listen, I talked to him a lot. We talked to him on the air. And he said, I don't know if I'll ever get another chance. But what he was saying was, I want to coach because there's nothing like it, right? Having your team and the competitive fire pays pretty well. And sure enough. And by the way, being on TV helps, you know. Like, even when they laid out the ESPN article about taking Memphis to three, you know, tournaments, taking Tech to a tournament, named ACC Coach of the Year, you know, resume, yeah, I mean, it was hard at Tech, and it's not, he followed Calipari at Memphis. He got fired there because he wasn't John Calipari. But to go to Vegas, I just look at it when you know somebody personally. Fastest growing suburbs are Nevada. Great schools, cool place. You're the only game in town at the Thomas Mack Center. You play your games in an arena, a 15,000-seat nice. Yeah. arena. Now, they're trying to get the NBA, right?
Yeah, trying to get the NBA. Obviously, they have the WNBA with the Aces there who, listen, to your point, look, those young ladies got, what was it, $100,000 a piece reportedly last year?
Four.
It was just kind of like extra incentive money. And then there was a little drama behind it. But my point is, you know, if he's able to bring in these kids and they can get these women extra money, imagine what he'll be able to do with NIL.
Yeah, I mean,
Vegas collective.
The problem is there's no mid-majors in the Sweet 16. So as Drew talked about, the problem now is that any good player at a mid-major is gone. You can't build mid-major teams like you could in the past because if you have a sniff that you could play at a higher level, you just dismantle those mid-major teams, which is now not allowed for the Cinderella stuff. Which, by the way, it's a little early to say that, right? It's like, you know, the
first
year.
What do you mean it's not allowed for the Cinderella? What do you mean?
Meaning that in the past, you look at some of these mid-major teams, you go, look, those are four kids that are 21 years old. They've been together for years. They're playing Kentucky and Calipari, who's got all those freshmen, and the mid-major teams can win those
games.
Oh,
I see what you mean. Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
You can't build a mid-major team because those kids, as soon as you average 14 points a game at, you know, UNC Charlotte, you're gone. You're going to the ACC. Yeah. You're going to the SEC. Yeah. You're going to one of the big conferences.
You're getting a job promotion at that point with way more money and likely more playing time with a higher profile. The system is so flawed. But, I mean, I ask you basketball crazy fans, are you okay with just being represented in the power conferences?
Well, what could happen is, if you guys remember, they did have that rule now where the JUCO years will not count as your eligibility towards your NCAA. So what could happen is, because some of these programs have built off of JUCO, so maybe now you start to see more JUCO kids maybe spend more time there and then take their talents maybe possibly to a mid-major. I mean, there's going to be ways. I don't think it's going to be completely.
I agree.
Josh Pastner, what do you say? Build old, stay old, whatever.
But you can't
do
that in the mid-majors. Get old, stay old.
Get old. There you go.
Get old and stay old and forget about freshman players out of high school. Anyway, I don't want to ramble on too much about it. But the point is, it's harder at the mid-major. But I would argue that Vegas, because they can spend the money, because they have a history of titles, because it's Stacey Augmon and Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony and Anderson Hunt, and, you know, years of them being a powerhouse program, similar to UMiami, right? It's like there's a whole history. People grew up with Vegas. I think that's a phenomenal job for him. You'll make millions of dollars. You live in a great town, and that's a great sports town
good
as well.
You.
So good for Josh
yep.
Pastner. And my analysis, and like, I think people would like to see. Listen, Butler was a great story because Butler could have won a national title. Butler was as good as anybody with Brad Stevens. Remember, Butler goes to the national title game. It's not like, you know, Oakland last year when they win one game and that, you know, that little white kid who hits eight threes. I mean, they were never going to go win a national title. Butler was good enough to win a national title. How do I know? They played in the national title game. They won two Final Four games 2 years in a row. So, you know, do people only want to see the big boys? No, I think they would have liked a couple of schools that we could get behind.
Sure.
But, you know, when you got the brand of Michigan State and Michigan and Florida and Bama and Duke, you know, these are...
It's a potpourri of hot and sexy is what's happening in Sweet 16.
And these are kids just getting paid a lot of money to go play basketball.
Good for you. Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, like you, Sandra, how many Florida Gator fans live in Atlanta and are, you know, just...
Michigan fans live in Atlanta.
Well, that for sure.
I mean, my God. You know,
and I don't think Michigan can win a national title, but I think Florida fans are like, what's it like to have a team again and we can win another national championship? Yeah. And they're favored, Florida Duke favored. Listen, I hated that Josh Pastner picked all number one seeds, but there is something to be said for Florida, Auburn, Houston, Duke. That would be a sick...
All still dancing.
That would be a sick... Final Four. All right. You going to update us on the Atlanta?
We're on the verge of a championship, Atlanta. Wake up this morning. TGL, Atlanta wins last night. So now in the best of three finale with New York, Atlanta wins tonight at 7 o'clock. We win the championship. And more importantly, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, and Billy Horschel will win $9 million because that is the purse. I don't know if you tuned in or not. I watched for about an hour. It is long to watch. But if you can catch, they did 15 minutes, you guys, last night with Scott Van Pelt. Not only the highlights, but had the three on set with him and did an entire long segment. And it is really good TV. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, it was... I liked the hype. I liked the interviews. I liked the putting. The stuff in the simulator doesn't compel me, you know, because...
It's too long.
It is too
15
long.
15 holes is too long.
It's drawn out too much.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's good counter-programming.
I'm just going to play you some of the good audio later on in Belly Up. Brian Snitker is coming on at 10 o'clock. That's the most important thing you need to know. Make sure to tune in.
He's in Arizona.
He's in Arizona. Final spring training game today at 4 o'clock. Day off tomorrow. Then they will begin the 25 campaign in San Diego on Thursday at 4 o'clock. What else do we need to know?
Hawks play tonight in Houston.
That's what you need to know.
Yeah. They got a little 3-game road trip. Then they're at the Heat on Thursday night in Miami. But
and then Milwaukee.
A lot of positive vibes around the Hawks, though. You agree?
Oh, trending up and sexy. Good for you, Atlanta.
Lisa,
come
Shea
on.
And
Trae Young with Daniels. The flowers over Double D and Risa Shea. He looks as happy as ever. Just from my point of view, watching him play and him afterwards is amazing. But the big story in basketball, and it's women's college basketball, is certainly the star, one of the big, big stars, Juju Watkins, torn ACL for USC. Done for the season, done for the playoffs.
The premier name in all of college basketball.
Yeah,
the
without
number
a
one
doubt.
Name.
Yeah, just a sophomore, too, and just you hate that it happens.
Yeah. And USC trying to win a national title.
Yeah.
Without her, going to be tough.
Without her, it's going to be tough.
Hey, we come back. Sometimes you got to put a bully in his place on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden. How's my voice sound? Decent?
You sound good, yeah.
All right.
I didn't realize
trying not to push
well.
It too much. Well, I also I tried to do my opening yesterday. It sounded like somebody had shot a duck, or something. It was
sounded
not...
like Peter Brady.
Peter Brady, mm-hmm. Pork chops and applesauce when he was going through puberty.
Time to change.
we appreciate you being with us. A great week here in Atlanta, obviously. And then the Masters a couple of weeks away, less than 2 weeks away, which people are fired up for as well. And then. We're going to get into this bullying situation and just talk in general about, you know, the modern day media exposure. Someone could be so dumb to think that cameras aren't always rolling and someone's not always recording something.
I also want to remind everybody that we have complete play-by-play coverage all the way through for the NCAA Basketball Championship. It's all brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, by Umberto Injury Law. After an injury, we are your winning team, and by Hooters. Bounce into Hooters and catch every game. NCAA Tournament continuing through April the 7th on The Game.
Yeah, we got Auburn, Michigan State, Michigan, and Ole Miss coming through Atlanta. not in that particular order, but four.
So the early game Friday is Ole Miss, Michigan State, 7:09, and then Michigan, Auburn is your 9:39. Are you going?
I don't know. You know, I got to try to talk to some peeps and see. And I've been very lucky. You know, but college basketball is my thing, and I've been to so many Final Fours, and we were lucky enough to travel around with a radio station many years. And they used to have that Final Four radio row. We were one of about 15 stations that went every year with Westwood One.
So what do you mean you're maybe not going? There's your reason you have to be in the building.
My son's got a soccer game night. I know. These kids. Gosh, they're always getting in the way of, you know, going out and gallivanting through town. No, I think, listen, Bruce Pearl is such a hero to me. Bruce Pearl is so important in terms of multiple reasons. You know, not only is he a friend that we hired years ago at 790 The Zone, he's been so gracious about coming on this radio station. I would be lying if I didn't mention the fact that he opened his press conference after winning the whatever that first weekend is called, and taking an opportunity to say, I want to talk about the American hostage that is still in Gaza and bringing attention to the hostages and that situation, and such a proponent for Israel and for, you know, listen, everybody connects to their peeps to a degree, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you root for people that were from the same area, 5 minutes from each other, about the same age. We both grew up, you know, as, you know, two Jewish kids in that part. And, you know, he has been carrying that flag on behalf of those hostages and took that time. So when I tell you he is beloved in that community, it's not even, there's no words to even describe folks who aren't even sports fans to see Bruce Pearl go out of his way to continually talk about his heritage and talk about that, you know, he felt like he was put, that he had a conversation with God to try to get these hostages home. I mean, it's powerful stuff. So I have a million reasons I love Bruce Pearl. I have a ton of friends who are Auburn fans. He's a phenomenal basketball coach. He's got the number one team. I'm convincing myself why, you know, it's a soccer game.
You have to, right. He's got many more soccer games.
Why am I even?
Bobby, good luck on Friday night.
Why am I even?
Daddy is going to the tournament.
Yeah, and I love the first game.
I know a guy that can probably get you tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
I have some friends at State Farm. And the first game, I'm biased to Michigan State because some of my closest friends are enormous Michigan State boosters. But I love that Ole Miss is in it. I got buddies whose kids are at Ole Miss. I think it's so cool to have another SEC school here. I think Michigan State fans, some of the best fans in all
Tom
of college
Izzo
sports.
Tom Izzo is the greatest.
Michigan, you know, with their nose in the air type arrogance rolling through here. But, you know, Michigan is Michigan. Only unbridled by Duke in terms of their sports arrogance at times. And then, of course, you have Auburn and our guy Bruce Pearl. Very exciting stuff. Guy who's not going to be in the Sweet 16 is Danny Hurley. So Danny Hurley had an incredible two-year run. I love the story of the Hurley family. His dad, a legendary high school coach that won a gazillion high school titles. His son Bobby goes to Duke. Danny goes to Seton Hall. It's well documented. Danny's emotional issues, feeling like he was the lesser than son for years. And then has this, you know, triumphant run that's really unprecedented, going 12-0 and winning two titles. But then just this personality, always a hard-nosed Northeast Jersey mindset, but taking it to the next level with his pettiness and his nastiness. And, you know, at one point telling a referee, I'm the greatest coach in America, you better understand that. His nonsense at that Maui Classic. Josh Pastner had a theory yesterday on the show. How did Danny Hurley become like a wrestling heel? How did that happen?
It's turning down the Lakers. And like you said, when they see that he's getting Luka Doncic, and you're like, I could have coached him and LeBron, but instead I'm here, I'm like, he's probably in his mind thinking, what am I doing?
So he essentially says, turning down the Laker job, winning that quickly, having all that attention, then going to Maui and falling on his face, that just started a trend of just unpleasantness. Like, the pressure got to him, right?
Fair enough. And after seeing that 60 Minutes, because I didn't know boo about Hurley. I just didn't. And then seeing that deep dive. You know what else I thought? And maybe I'm reading too much into it. They had an interview with he and his wife sitting together, and she wasn't having it. She's trying to, like, keep him balanced at home of, like, it's a game. Like, she basically said, get over yourself. It's a game. Don't bring that kind of stuff home.
Right. You either win or lose. It's only two things that can happen.
It's a 50-50 shot, right. She says.
Yeah.
50-50 chance.
So that's why I guarantee you that she's had conversations with him. He has become the villain in college basketball by what comes out of his mouth. Just the nonsense. He's leaving the court. It was a tremendous game. They absolutely played Florida tooth and nail. Walter Clayton Jr. hits two ridiculous shots. Then he's leaving the court. You don't have to have the audio. It's not great audio. And he basically says, I hope you don't get effed the way we got effed. You know, you didn't get effed. It was a wonderful college basketball game. There's 50 people around. It's the entire Baylor team. It's the Baylor coaches. It's probably the cheerleaders. I mean, it's a whole group of people.
Well, they're walking all in the tunnel together, and it's almost like, I hope people can see it, and the audio is terrible, but it's almost like a player chirping. You know, when you're just chirping at somebody, he's like kind of, he's not talking to anybody specific. He's just like chirping. Hope they don't F you like they F'd us, Baylor.
Right.
Hope they don't.
Right.
And in my head, it wasn't that big of a deal until it is.
Yeah, so they put it out there, which you have to know is going to happen. It's a really bad look, but not devastating, but it's a bad look of sportsmanship. But I would argue, you just lost the game. You're frustrated. Let's look at the press conference where he was very gracious.
And emotional.
Yeah. So let that be the moment. And then they decide Connecticut.
Joey Ellis, Charlotte Sports Live, is there with his phone, it sounds like. This guy is a real journalist.
Journalist!
Has his phone. He's a writer, the whole thing. And he gets that chirp on camera, and it goes viral, as you all know.
And next thing you know, you have a sports report on television.
Anchor, weekend sports anchor in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte Sports Live's own Joey Ellis took that video and then was confronted by UConn Director of Communications, Bobby Mullen. Mullen asked for that video that had gone viral to be removed. He then threatened Joey, saying he would, quote, ruin his life if he didn't. This was heard by multiple other reporters and staff on hand.
Then they go on to say, we stand by the audio, obviously, and we're not going to remove it. How dumb do you have to be as a sports information or whatever the name of the
director of basketball operations at UConn, yeah. Bobby Mullen?
I will ruin your life.
False sense
you don't
of fabulous.
Bring that down. But by the way, how do you bring it down when it's already on the internet for the whole world? Like, at that point, you don't have the ability to bring it down anyway.
Right.
And why would you? Like, Danny Hurley, you're not in a hallway being recorded on a quiet message to the Baylor coach saying, I hope you screamed it. So everybody on the Baylor team and their coach, like,
anybody in that hallway could have recorded
right,
it. Anybody.
Those hallways, just so you know, and you've been to games, those hallways have, like, promotional people that are getting ready to run out on the court. They have, obviously, players, coaches, cheerleaders, behind the scene, guys with those laminates on it that gives you access. there's a lot going on under that.
And all the media is lined up because we're about to get in the locker room. That's where we are.
Or we're headed out to the court now for the next game. So what are you talking about?
It's a bad look. I think it made it worse because I'm telling you, I didn't think his chirping was anything other than, come on, you're a head coach.
I don't like you blaming referees for a game like that. But listen, let's see what he said in the press conference. He didn't go with that angle in the press conference. He didn't talk about the referees. And then you have someone say, I'm going to ruin your life. Take it down. Meanwhile, there's no question. You know, we're of the age. We got a lot of friends that have been through jobs and decisions and all that. He's sitting there looking at Luka Doncic in L.A., and thinking about, like, you know, there was a lot of romance and being in stores. And there's nothing wrong. You know, it's admirable that he stayed. But, of course, he's got to be thinking, I could have been in the NBA coaching the Lakers. And maybe I was just a little too caught up in my second national title. It would have been a hell of a way to go out of Connecticut, right?
Yeah, so that's what you guys were inferring yesterday. If that interview were to take place after this year, that guy is L.A. bound.
Yeah, so, you know, don't bully people.
Yeah.
Danny Hurley's trying to bully people, and it's just a bad look in general. So, whatever. Is it catastrophic? I don't know, man. There'll be some soul-searching done. I can tell you that he has gained millions of Connecticut haters this year. People who did not care about anything to do with Connecticut basketball, they are now decided, that's my villain,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, because Coach K is gone now. So yeah. You're the new guy.
So you need a new program to root against. Yep. He has given you that. The Kirk Cousins saga, I thought he wants to get out of Atlanta. I think he wants to go play somewhere or have a chance to play somewhere. But now we're hearing that there is a stalemate between Kirk Cousins' camp, the Atlanta Falcons' camp, and what's best for our organization and what's best for Kirk Cousins. And let me tell you something. Those two are not aligned, not even a little bit. Why the Kirk Cousins story may be the most fascinating of the offseason. We'll tell you about that. We come back. Also, we'll do a tailgate. Brian Snicker, manager of the Braves, live from Arizona at 10 a.m. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak and Sandra Golden, thanks so much for being with us. The queen of Atlanta radio. And three straight days here of great sports talk conversation. You like we have the Friday, Sunday? Would you rather have Thursday, Saturday for Atlanta?
Friday, Sunday, because you end it. Your Sunday is an ending.
Yeah.
So you know
you're wrapping up to who's going to the final.
Yeah, four. The Sunday's way sexier than Saturday.
Okay.
Sorry to say it.
We get to be home Thursday night and watch games on Thursday night, right? Mm-hmm. So we got that going on. Sandra was telling us about the TGL. Atlanta just putting a team together.
By the way, they went up 2-0. Then New York tied it at 2-2. New York goes up 4-2. They tie it at 4. And this throw the anchor and the whole thing. It's throw the hammer. It's woo. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Do you watch it, Bo, at all?
I've watched it all.
So tell me what you like about it.
I just think, I love golf simulators. I love going to Good Game and having a good time with friends. I just think that golf simulator is just so fascinating how they have the same green on every hole, but they have the undulating, you know, green, and they have the same bunkers on every hole, but they turn the actual green inside the facility. I would just love to go play it. So, therefore, you know, I love to watch it. It's fun. I love it.
We had this house in Orlando. Did I tell you where we were with my buddies? So it's at this reunion golf course, and it's like in Kissimmee, Florida, I think it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, it's Orlando, but it's
Where Brave Spring Training is.
Oh, yeah,
it's right down that street. Reunion is used to be where Tiger lived before, and it's where all the Braves players used to stay in Reunion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had this ridiculous house because there's 10 of us, so we could, you know, for three nights, just get the most massive house.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a golf simulator. They had everything in this house. They had an arcade where we were betting on Papa Shot against each other. Then they had a theater where we were in there watching Dave Chappelle, our favorite Dave Chappelle skits. And then there's this golf simulator that picture the one at In-Town Golf or where do you say you go for it?
Good Game over Good the Battery. Game.
Okay. Yeah. Picture triple the size. This was the biggest simulator, double or triple the size. I mean, it was massive. And not only could you golf simulate, you could soccer simulate,
fast pitch.
Have you seen that? There's like eight different sports. You want to talk about a bunch of guys with like nothing to do all day long but drink and watch basketball and bet on each other on the simulator.
Yep.
Like, we're like, it's 2:00. Let's have a drink. Let's play golf simulator. Let's watch the NCAAs. Let's have another drink. What do we have to do now? It's 5:00. Let's go play Pop Shot. Let's gamble. Like, nothing to do except sit in that house and just be dudes. But that golf simulator from my buddies who golf, it's like the guys who have it at their house three times the size. It was pretty spectacular.
Well, the win for me is, to sit and watch a golf tournament for 4 days is the least exciting thing about the PGA. And why do I say that? Because Full Swing has me all in. The characters, the comedy, the clicks, and what you're seeing live now with this TGL, specifically with Justin and Patrick Cantlay, they call him Patty Ice. Literally, Scott Van Pelt is calling him Patty Ice.
I know.
And then Billy Horschel, despite him being a Gator, might be my new favorite player. The personalities, when they compared it, you guys, last night on the set, he goes, it feels like the Ryder Cup. And I was like, what? Like, they are so into it. Do you agree, Bo, or am I making too much of it?
Yeah, and then you got the stadium atmosphere. They've got the shot clock going on.
Yep.
You've got the fans can cheer at any time. It's a completely different experience. If you've ever played Golden Tee, then you would absolutely love doing something like this.
I think. And, oh, by the way, Arthur Blank sitting there with Mike Vick, Michael Penix, Kyle Pitts and a couple of other players last night on the sideshow. If you go to the Falcons Twitter right now at Atlanta Falcons, the audio is kind of hard to hear. But they, first of all, if you were playing a drinking game, the number of times they said, bro, he's not going to hit it, bro. Yeah, he's going to get it, bro. I could do that, bro.
The lineup was Arthur Kyle, Vic. Penix, and Vic.
Vic sitting next to Penix, Kyle Pitts, and a couple of old players. I just couldn't get a good look at them. So,
dude, that is like ATL royalty. I'll tell you one thing. I know Kyle Pitts gets in that chair. You know, God bless. Suck up to your owner because you got another year with the Falcons.
No. His bestie
is Penix.
Is Michael Penix.
Listen, maybe.
And bro, I say this to you, bro.
Yeah.
They're bros because they said it a lot, bro.
Well, you know, they said it when he caught that pass. Look at the biggest catch of Kyle Pitts' career was the end of the game against the Commanders on that. Was it a Sunday night game? Yeah. It got flexed. The catch at the end of the game. Maybe there will be something with Penix.
Penix and them were there last week, too.
I know.
Penix and Kyle, y'all. I think it's a good thing.
Sandy. All right, let's do it. Yeah, quick tailgate.
With the first pick in the NFL draft of 2025, the Tennessee Titans pick quarterback Cam Ward, University of Miami. Put all the money on it. Cam Ward.
Put it in the book.
Cam Ward had his pro day yesterday, and the Titans brought everybody, including probably the cafeteria lady, to the University of Miami to meet and greet. They went to supper. It is all but done.
The traffic cop in front of the facility.
I'm not even kidding, State, that the news is making such a big deal. They brought even the TV and internet content keeper of all things to. They had the drones going. Tennessee had the drones going over Cam Ward. So I'm telling you, that is a done deal. You're also seeing the headlines that Raheem Morris was at Mike Green's pro day. Marshall, I'm sure there were other folks there. I heard Bo and Mike getting into it this morning. I don't know what the big deal was. Raheem was there. Good. Raheem needs to be there. And the only other thing I want to mention, and I was listening to Dukes and Bell yesterday with Connor Riley was the guest. Stake, he is intimating that he will not be surprised if Carson Beck transfers again. Do you know what's going on down there on campus in Coral Gables? So picture this. The Cavender twins are the darlings of the university.
Yeah, kind of broke out the whole model for social media, Instagram, NIL superstars.
Darlings.
Right? Yep.
So now enter Carson Beck, star quarterback, who now cheats on Haley Cavender. So now their whole goal in life on TikTok is to ruin Carson Beck. If you're watching them roll out videos of their videos of like shame, and they're doing words of shame, and it's all directed. And he was saying yesterday with Mike Bell that they are the folks, y'all, in Miami, they're behind these Cavender twins. So,
wow.
I know.
Interesting.
That's a little gossip for you. I don't know if any of that is true, but I was thinking to myself, the last thing you want at the University of Miami, and Mario Cristobal does not play. I covered him. He's the head coach at FIU. He is not exactly the friendliest.
What's the term? Carson Beck doesn't read the room, or there's something.
Know your audience,
about,
all of it.
You know, he doesn't make himself a likable figure. And I was thinking about this also as Georgia dealt with the fallout from those two traffic violations. One was a wreck, one was a speeding. Both of them bad looks. Kirby suspends them both indefinitely. But when you've had two people pass away within your program, and you've had as many issues as you had, to show up with a Lamborghini, which is built to be over the top, you know, you don't drive a Lamborghini down Lumpkin Street at 20 miles an hour. You get a Lamborghini for a reason. I know it's a show, but even that alone was not reading the room. You know what I mean?
I know.
On so many levels.
People show you who they are. You hear that? That's this young man with lots of money. He's enjoying his life.
Didn't hang out with
his
teammates. Didn't hang out with offensive linemen. Shows up with a Lamborghini. Exits as quick as could be. Cheats on his girlfriend. I don't know, man. Go play quarterback and you'll be fine, I guess. It's interesting to hear Baker Mayfield. Did you hear him say recently?
Phenomenal. His Christianity.
He's literally come to, you know the term, come to Jesus?
He really has.
He sounds like he literally has realized, this is more to me than football. He goes, I got humbled. I got taken, what did he say, right to the spokes, right to the skids. And I had to realize there's more of me than just football. Carson Beck may have to have a moment to say, how did I end up here?
I hope he turns it around. Somebody's got to give him a good shake because You know, that's listen to the universe. You're not getting served up flowers, young man.
So, the Cavender, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the Cavender.
Cavenders are the darling of the universe in Miami. So,
hey, the Kirk Cousins stuff, and that's our tailgate on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Kirk Cousins stuff is pretty fascinating. Albert Breer, who was on with the morning show last week, was intimating stuff about Kirk Cousins and what he may or may not decide to do. Now word is that he could absolutely block with his no-trade clause a deal the Falcons try to make to get him out of Atlanta and get some kind of compensation. It reportedly is chiefly, I'm reading from an article in Sports Illustrated, it would be chiefly to avoid the situation or what happened previously where he was blindsided by the Michael Penix drafting in the NFL draft.
Right.
It remains a negotiating tool, one that Cousins could wield to avoid particular circumstances. Falcons have made it crystal clear that Michael Penix is the star in Atlanta, and Cousins is clear that he wants the chance to start. But he wants to avoid getting traded into a situation where he'd be blindsided like the Falcons blindsided him with the Penix Jr. pick. In fact, he's dead set enough on avoiding it that he may force Atlanta to delay a trade decision till after the draft. Why would he block a trade to play where he can start? The understanding to be to avoid where he found himself previously. Rather than taking anyone's word for it, Cousins has already signaled to the team he would likely want to wait to see what happens over draft weekend before accepting a trade. In other words, am I going somewhere where they're drafting Shedeur Sanders? Am I going somewhere where they're drafting Jackson Dart? Am I going somewhere to be the mentor, of which I have no interest in, of some young quarterback?
He didn't want to get penixed again, is exactly what it's about. He wants to make sure where he's going.
That sit there for a second, because that's a great way to put it. Has anybody else said that?
I don't think so. Hashtag penixed.
So Sandra says he doesn't want to get penixed. And that should be the headline for anybody that doesn't understand what's going on. You put it in very simple terms. This is a messy situation. Do you know how to make billionaires angry? Spend $90 million for 11 games or whatever that number was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then have the guy say, I'm not going anywhere till I go where I want to go, and you're not getting your fourth round pick or you're getting any extra dollars until I'm in a situation that I want to be in, right? So Arthur Blank is angry with what happened. I'm sure it's not a comfortable conversation for Terry Fontenot or Raheem Morris, who said we're going all in on Kirk Cousins because we're the football guys.
Right.
I'm sure that's uncomfortable. Kirk Cousins and his family needs to worry about Kirk Cousins and his family. And I don't owe the Atlanta Falcons anything. They gave me money, but that's the going rate for quarterbacks in the NFL. They didn't do me a favor.
Right.
They didn't go out of their way for me. Right. So,
I just am trying to. This is an ugly divorce, y'all. This is what's happening. You're finding out that she cheated, and it's getting ugly. The other thing Mike Conte brought up, and I know we're going to go because Brian Snitker's coming up right at the top of the hour, you guys. Mike Conte did bring up the fact that Kirk circumvented Raheem and Terry and went right to Arthur. Like, how's that look in that building, too?
In terms of the initial deal?
In terms of the let's have a meet and greet.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's just not cute,
but,
y'all.
But, Sandra, you cannot show up and do a training camp
with that guy. Oh, can you imagine how awful?
With him in the quarterback room. Awful. You can't do it.
I agree.
Brian Snitker, we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Number one rated sports talk radio station in the city. the great little 2 hours that we get, Steak and Sandra, doing this a while. It's the Steakhouse. Thanks so much for being with us and joining us now. Great friend of the show. He's the manager of the Atlanta Braves. He's Brian Snitker, and he joins us from Mesa, Arizona. Is that right?
That's it.
A little stopover on your way to the West Coast. So thanks so much for being with us. And Brian, hope you had a good, 5-6 weeks in Florida, right?
Yeah. No, it was great. Everything's went about as good as you could do it. You know, I think the guys are they're about spring training out about now, so yes. They're ready to get going. And it's been a really cool last couple of days here, coming out to Scottsdale and playing the Cubs, and we've had a lot of fun with that too.
I'm going to ask you for a second, big picture, 30,000 feet, about your legacy. I know you probably don't want to talk too much about it, but you are going to be of the age when Bobby Cox finally walked away from the Braves. He was 69 years old. You'll be 70 in October. Your 10th season managing the Atlanta Braves. Do you ever think about the legacy? It's been a decade now. A guy that spent, 30-something years in every walk of the Braves organization and do you ever sit back and think how wild it is that now you're entering your 10th season running this ball club?
Yeah, I do. I took a walk the other day around the park there in Northport in our complex and kind of reflecting on things. And, you sit in your chair sometimes and wonder, number one, where'd the time go? And, I do that. And I've been blessed to be with such a great organization and to have a family that's allowed me to do this.
When you were, I asked Mike Smith when he got the Falcons job, did you always dream about being a head coach? He said, I always said, be a great linebacker coach, be a great D-back coach, be a great defensive coordinator, and life takes care of itself. Is that the feeling you had all those years in the minors or in the majors as a base coach? Was being the manager the North Star, or was it, I don't have time to think about those things, I need to just do a great job every day?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know what? I took it a year at a time. I took it a day at a time. And, you can get caught up looking at the big picture, and that's a lot of things that you can't control. So the thing I could control was my job that day. And then I'm looking at this right now. I mean, I think if you look ahead and all that, you're going to get lost in what you're supposed to be doing at the moment. So I've always been kind of just taking the day at a time type guy.
What's incredible is the fine line that life is, as you know, as we get older, the three of us here talking, that there's so many instances, a different GM, guy that, maybe wasn't a Brian Snitker guy, you could have been moved different places, you were moved different places, like all the things that had to happen for you to sit back and not only get 10 years, but win a World Series, be a legend in this town, which is what you are now, but so many things could have gone the other way along that road.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't know actually when, I've been through a few, like you said, general managers, different changeovers. This last one, I didn't know Alex. He didn't know me. We kind of been fortunate and I love the guy. I mean, it's everything that he brought here. But it could have went anyway, and I was prepared for that. I understand that's how the game is and the business is. And, it's just things could have just – it could have taken a turn any number of times over my career. All the recycles and everything that I've been through and whatnot. And it's just sometimes I think just things are meant to happen.
Brian Snitker with us. Getting ready for the Braves to open their season against the Padres on Thursday.
Brian, how many spring trainings is this for you?
48.
Wow. Amazing.
I would assume you guys weren't eating as well, probably didn't have a nutritionist, a chef, a, 25 different people within, taking care of you guys. Do you ever look at some of your guys and go, what it was like 40-something years ago in wherever?
Absolutely.
They wouldn't believe it, would they?
No, I said my My first 2 years, my locker was a hook on a wall. We used to stand on pallets when we took a shower so we'd be off the floor. I mean, you know, you'd find the buffet, so you just stuff yourself so you didn't, you know, you get through the game. And, you know what, though? Yeah, you wouldn't change a thing. Those are those were really good times, if you want to know the truth.
You know, you hear people that get extremely successful, top of their game, like you are, managing a major league team, flying private, best hotels in the world and everything else. Or you hear really rich guys be like, you know what? The journey there was absolutely as much fun, and in some cases more fun than actually getting there, the destination, because you don't know any better when you're on those buses or you're in those, you know,
no.
When you're at the Piccadilly cafeteria just loading up on carbs to say this will get me through the day.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's I reminisce with a lot of guys that I worked with, coached with. We talk about it all the time, how much fun we had back in the day and when things weren't that great. And like you say, there was a lot of long bus rides. There was, the hotels that had the window box air conditioners that you couldn't breathe when you woke up in the morning. And there's so much mold coming through those things. And, those were really good times. You know that? It's like when we had kids, I was married and had kids, we'd go into a town and Ronnie would go to a consignment store and buy a set of bunk beds and we'd sleep for the kids and we'd sleep on a mattress on the floor. And you know, I'd get the master suite or whatever, cause I had kids and the pitching coach and the trainer would be in the other two bedrooms of the apartment. And you know, there's no cell phone. I'll tell you what, it was pretty simple back then. There was no cell phones. I don't know how we made moves, quite honestly, which was probably a good thing. We couldn't make the moves in the minor leagues, so we were forced to leave the players there, and they learned how to play.
Right. Yeah, you're not shopping guys around in Double-A. You just hope they show up for work every day, and you assume they're there. Brian Snicker with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Ian Anderson trade, was that something you guys had been thinking about watching him through spring training? How did it eventually come to that? And obviously he leaves a bit of a legacy as well.
No, that had literally happened in the middle of the game that he was when he was pitching. I sent him inside and we took him out of the game. So you know what, I'm happy for Ian. You know what, it didn't look like he was going to make our club. I love that kid and what he meant to our organization and the person that he is. And he didn't have a great spring. I mean, we probably weren't going to be able to carry him. So I think this was a heck of a lot better than maybe having to set him down, tell him you're going to designate him. So I wish him nothing but the best. Like I say, there's not a finer young man on the face of the earth than Ian Anderson. And hopefully he can get things turned around out in L.A.
Brian Snicker with us live from Arizona on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brian, I heard Chipper talking on the broadcast about Jerks and Profar, and he said the first guy that grabbed me when I got to camp was Profar, asking him about switch hitting, how did Chipper do it, and he was like, Chipper was so impressed. Can you tell us kind of behind the scenes what Profar's meant to spring training?
He's been unbelievable, I think. I mean, he's fit right in from day one. He's just got a great attitude. I mean, he's always smiling. He's a great teammate. I think he's going to be a really good add for us in our lineup. And when we get Ronald back, it's going to be really deep. And that lineup is, and he's been fun to be around. I mean, he loves to play. He loves to work. I think he's one of those guys. He's not going to get tired. He's going to get sleepy, you know, and I think he expects to play every day. He's, like I say, he's fit right in here. I mean, I haven't had or been around a kid from Curacao that wasn't just a wonderful person, and they're really bright and guys that just, you know, they appreciate everything they have and they love to play.
Brian Snicker with us as the Braves start their season on Thursday. A lot of the scuttlebutt or conversation nationally is Brian Snicker's number one job is to get Chris Sale and Spencer Strider to the postseason healthy, and doesn't matter what he does for 5.5 months. It sounds like a kind of a ridiculous narrative, and you know better than anybody that's not the way you can manage full time, but it is a different era. So when you see those two and think about those two and you hear that, what goes through your mind in terms of keeping them healthy all season?
Well, I think we did a really good job of that last year, nothing we did was the result of, you know, Chris not being able to pitch. That was just a freak thing. I think we do a really good job of giving guys extra days, and I think that is important. You know, you got Chris at his age, and he got through so good and last year. This is Spencer's first big league camp. As well as he did last year, I didn't even know what he looked like till he showed up in Atlanta. And, it's going to be different. It's going to be new territory for him too, navigating, you know, this season. But we'll do everything we can to try and protect those guys and within reason. I mean, we still got to go out and win ball games but I think organizationally we do a really good job of taking care of these guys.
Yeah. How do you feel about Ronald? Obviously, everybody listening all over Atlanta, he's the babe, the boy. When do we see him doing his thing at Truist Park, in your estimation?
Yeah, I don't really know. We're not going to put timelines on things, because when you do that, then you got to, you know, it's like, well, then why didn't he meet this timeline? And he's doing good. I mean, he's there. He's getting a lot of game at bats. It's just the running, the cutting, the starting, the stopping are things that he's still training to be able to do. So when he's able to do that, then we're going to plug him in. And hopefully by the time he gets here, he's ready to go full bore. So, it's just one of those things that they're going to do things right. We're going to, this is the second time. I think Ronald's had a great attitude all spring. He's been unbelievable. And he's working very hard and diligent. And we're going to love it when we get him. And, hopefully it's sooner than later.
Let me follow up with that, Brian, because I heard you on Major League Baseball Network talking about you weren't sure if you were at a spring training for Major League players or for American Legion. And I thought that hit so hard. Is that something different for this group, that they're just having a blast together, or is it like that all the time?
Yeah, it is like that all the time. These guys like to play baseball. I said, what a novel idea that they're having fun playing baseball. You know, I mean, they like to work. They enjoy the competing. I've never seen, and it's been like that for a while here, where these guys just, they enjoy the competition and they're fun to be around. They make it fun for myself and the coaches and just how hard they are and how dedicated they are to what they're doing.
Drake Baldwin remind you of anybody?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been thinking about that. As a left-handed hitting catcher, Max got to come to mind. I mean, he's kind of advanced where he's at, just like Brian was. And this kid's been very impressive this spring. We're going to start this thing up Thursday and see where it goes. But, man, he's had a nice camp, and he's done a great job with our pitchers. They like throwing to him. The throwing has been really good. I think Eddie's done a great job with him. He's a very impressive young man.
That'll be fun for you to watch him opening day at Truist. And, man, it's a special place when you're, a rookie in that situation and everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for that first at bat. We've seen him over the years. Hell, we've been here for Hayward and Francoeur and Freddie and all those guys. But he's going to have that moment when everybody's looking at him, in about a week and a half.
No, he is, and I think he's prepared for it. I mean, he's another one that, we've done a good job. We've developed him. He's went through the organization, played at all the levels, did some international play this winter, and he's a great young man. I mean, he's very bright. He's got a good baseball sense about him and willing to learn. He's in the dugout, between innings, talking with the pitcher, talking with Cranny, going over sequences, stuff like that. And he's a quick study. So I'm excited, just, like everybody else is going to be when we see him get that first at bat here in San Diego in a couple of days.
All right, before you go, let's take I know the relationships in baseball are some of the most special things, including Bobby and that relationship and history and everything else. I want you to pick a city. I want you to pick a restaurant, steakhouse, Italian, whatever. I think you're leaning those directions. You get to be with, I'll give you three or four baseball guys. Can't be Bobby, but maybe it's coaches. These aren't players. These are guys that worked alongside. Where are we going to dinner? Who's with you? What kind of night are we having? And are we telling Ronnie we're not going to be feeling good the next morning? Give us, what's the scenario?
You know what? I got a new go-to restaurant, too, and it's in Sarasota. Marcello's Italian is probably one of the greatest restaurants I've ever been at.
Wow.
This guy, Marcello, he cooks by himself for the restaurant. And it's unbelievable to sit there and watch this guy and to watch him work. And the food is just phenomenal. You know, like three guys that I would probably like to be with. I'd love for Hank to be there because he always appreciated that good food and good wine. And you know, another guy that I've come to know, and it's really cool for me to talk to, especially in the wake of, you know, Bobby not being there, is Jim Leland. You know, right. I really enjoy nuzzling up to him, and you know, it's really good baseball conversation. And the third guy, there's so many of them, I tell you.
One of your coaches from the last 10 years, only one gets to be at that table.
That'd be Walt.
Yep.
I mean, he's my rock, man. I'd love to experience everything I can with that guy. He's just the most wonderful person. And I always tell him I'd break out in hives every year at the end of the year when I see his name connected with a managing job. And I'd be calling him. It's like, you're not really going to leave, are you? And you know, it's just, I'd just be in a panic because he's so important to me.
That's good stuff. A nice little chicken marsala with Hank Aaron, Jim Leland, and Walt Weiss. So life is good. Hey,
there you go.
I hope the grandkids are doing great. I know they'll have fun this season, and your family as well. And thanks for coming on to start the year every year.
Well, I appreciate it. I always appreciate being with you guys. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck Thursday. That's Brian Snicker, the manager of the Braves, getting ready to kick off his 10th year as manager of this team. You know, all I can think about is
the menu at Marcello's. You're
going to look at it
right this second.
Well, no.
And know exactly what's happening.
How are we going to get there? How are we going to get to Sarasota?
That was great.
Guys in the kitchen does the whole deal. Wow. Thanks to Brian Snicker. Truly a gem for this city. We'll come back. Lots more to get to. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, thanks to Brian Snicker for joining us. It's unbelievable to have a baseball team. Well, I mean, listen, I've been here since the mid-90s, so I wasn't here in 91 and 92, but since 95, the amount of playoff games, Hall of Fame players, dramatic moments, world championships, I mean, it's just like this unbelievable run of an organization. And to have Brian Snicker in his 10th season, and like, he's not going to throw guys under the bus, but you know, John Coppolella was ready to move him out for good. Frank Wren relegated him to the minor leagues after he was a third base coach, you know, for Bobby. Mm-hmm. And then Frank Wren says, you know, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
He took a lot of slinging arrows, and you just keep, you know, it's just a great example of put your nose down and just keep working hard. And for young people, it's just like, dude, you know, we say it all the time. You don't learn anything from success. Like, your lessons are going to come from those hardships, you know, no question about it. And, you know, it's just the guy has now been at the top of his game for 10 years. Look at he's got 730 wins. He's got a world championship. He's got division titles, 100-win seasons. Alex Anthopoulos didn't know him from Boo. You know what you hear? Most GMs want their own guy in there, right? And what happened? Him and Alex have this incredible relationship, and Alex has never needed to go find a manager. So,
do you remember the narrative when Freddie Freeman went into Alex and said, "We want Brian Snicker to remain"? Like, there was this whole thing.
Yeah, he took over mid-season.
You go talk to Major League Baseball players throughout the league and ask them what they hear about Atlanta. And one of the first things you're going to hear is Brian Snicker is the ultimate manager.
Right.
It's not about the money for him. Go look at what Dave Roberts makes and what him. It's never about the money. He is as good as it gets. He treats everybody with respect.
I hope you enjoy.
He's a tremendous guy.
Yeah, I mean, you get a chance to hear him a lot of places, I guess. But I don't think you get to hear a story like buying bunk beds.
Oh, that's amazing.
What did he say there? I was trying to understand.
It was a three-bedroom apartment where they'd put the coaching staff, and he would get the primary suite because he had kids and his wife with him.
Right, so they'd go and get a bunk bed, and they would sleep on the floor or do whatever. And, just you can't replace guys that get that level of success older as opposed to – and sometimes you can't blame 20-year-olds for behaving the way they do because they just have no perspective, and that's what Brian Snicker has. And by the way, this baseball team is going to be a fascinating year. I mean, you talk about loaded for bear. Strider coming back and Acuna coming back and Drake Baldwin in the mix and Jerkson Profar now to see what he's all about and Ozzie coming back and Olsen coming back and
Michael Harris breakout year. Let's by the way, keep an eye on where he is in the lineup. You
and
guys,
the rivalry of the Mets and Phillies.
Right. Yep.
I mean, the Mets outspending the world other than the Dodgers to have Juan Soto in the division. It's an embarrassment of riches for the Atlanta Braves. And they've earned it. They've absolutely earned it for what's going on at the Battery, which is just, you know, spectacular also.
Yeah.
Just another
great job with Brian. Love them. Hey, Dukes and Bell, come hang with them this Friday from 2 to 7. They'll be at the Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, getting you all set for the weekend, previewing, of course, all the games, a chance to end your work week with Dukes and Bell this Friday, 2 to 7, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Speaking of going out, Steak, I'm super excited to come over. I just don't know what time you want me and Day-Day to show up for this Celtics, episode of Celtic City. So I'm looking at my text this morning, you guys,
what
and there's
time was
three
that?
Of us. It was around 8:05 a.m.
I just want to say I'm very flattered.
I know. Aren't you excited? Pick up some Gio's chicken, and we'll go over and hang with Steak.
That text was not meant for you.
Hey, the meeting's not going to be long. I was going to invite you to come over and watch the Larry Bird episode of Celtic City. Who are you going to dinner with? Mm-hmm. And so you send this to me and Day-Day.
Right. I have a buddy in town. And he has dinner plans because he thought I had something going on. So what did I say to him? I'll be done early, right?
This meeting's not going to take long.
Right. This meeting's not going to take long.
Come over.
So
who are you going to dinner with?
Yeah. So come on.
I'm telling you.
So the Larry Bird episode's on. I figured we'll just grab a couple of pies and you come by the house. We'll watch the Bird episode on Celtic City. I have a buddy. I just got a new TV in the basement, and I was having a romantic night of watching Celtic City.
It's very sexy, the Larry Bird episode.
Yeah.
You know, light some candles, put on some sexy time music.
Here's what I'll say. Miss Kimberly, she clearly has nothing to worry about when it comes down to Mr. Shapiro.
Right,
this might be the saddest text I've ever read in my life.
Come sit in my basement and watch an HBO documentary about the Boston Celtics, right?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
No, it's the Larry Bird episode.
You know, it's
what I've dreamed for. I've been waiting.
It's a flounder, man.
It's the Larry Bird.
You are something else. And I might add, can you imagine? You might have sent a real other, have you done this before? A text to the wrong person? Oh, whoop, there it is.
And nothing worse than that feeling when you realize.
There's something about when an athlete goes on SNL to host, right? I don't think there's been an athlete to do it better than Peyton Manning. Today, 18 years ago, the greatest short film skit of the United Way, Peyton Manning, premiered.
Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to lose? All right, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't. You know what I mean. Whatever. Kids in the
NFL and the United Way. Spend time with your kids so Peyton Manning doesn't.
So Peyton Manning ended up having, it looks with the Colts, this kind of round table of forum of people getting to ask questions. So he starts to begin to tell you behind the scenes of what was happening during that shoot.
I got to explain myself. People don't believe it. These footballs were Nerf footballs with the Nerf cut out. They were as light as a feather. But they put those sound effects where it looks like you were just knocking these kids out. And I remember the director said, Peyton, you're a charitable guy. This is a spoof the United Way. That's why it's going to be funny. But it's only going to work if you're all in. I mean, you got to whack these kids right in the head.
So he goes on to say the more and more they were shooting, and it was a long day, and he talks about there's all these kids and they're actors and all there. And he said, I just got more and more uncomfortable, and I finally told the director, I don't think I can do this.
I said, you know what? I just can't do it. I can't do it. I said, I will go up to the edge. This feels over the edge. I'm not comfortable. And he said, no problem. We don't have to do it. We don't want you to do anything out of your comfort zone. And right then, I cannot make this up, one of the parents of the child actors runs out onto the set and tells the director, I want him to hit my kid in the face. And I said, I will do it. I will knock your kid out. You know? So.
It's a really, really good, like, 10-minute
video. You know
video.
God has been good to you when you not only have the genes of Archie Manning, but somehow you got the comedic chops.
Oh,
of
they're
just,
so good.
I mean, dude, that guy.
And Eli's the quiet assassin.
Oh, my God,
he's quiet.
Dude.
He's so funny.
I am transformed. That Manning cast, to me.
It's the only way to watch Monday Night Football for me.
Here's the best news as we go to break. The best news ever is that Bill Belichick will be hopefully off the Manning cast.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, right?
That one.
Because he's not following the league anymore. Now he's in Chapel. It's like, why are you giving Belichick that kind of play? Get him. We're done with him. Manning cast is so – Eli Manning's so freaking funny, dude.
Yep.
I mean, it revolutionized, right?
Yeah. Y'all go watch that today just to laugh at
work
a little bit.
They'll do a million versions of Manning cast with other people. It'll never be as good as these two, right?
Hey, ESPN's new campaign for the Masters, just quickly as we're going to break, this is the new version. Noah Kahan is the new voice of Georgia.
Wow. That's going to be good stuff.
I love it. We got to do our Calcutta. We got to talk about that.
The Masters highlights in the background. How
so
cool
good.
Is that going to be? All right, we'll come back. Three strikes and more on Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us. You want to do our big game of the night, you and Day-Day? I need a second to finish my three strikes. I have a good idea.
Hawks at Houston tonight, 8 p.m. Thanks, John Foy. Hawks are sexy. Keep on winning.
Yeah,
let's go.
Man. Yeah, looking like they can, looking for their fourth win in a row, I should say. But more importantly, they want to try to stay. Right now, they're currently a game and a half of over Orlando for the, they're the seventh seed. Orlando's the eighth seed. But in the division as well, we got the division lead. So trying to keep pace and, just kind of stay ahead of Orlando as we get ready for these playoffs.
So they're at Houston, at Miami, at Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's a hell of a road trip.
Yeah, I'll say. They're not back here till April 1st with Portland in town.
So we're locked into the...
Well, we're not locked in. We're sitting in seventh right now.
Yeah, let's just say we get the 7 or 8 spot, right? Mm-hmm. That the 9 and 10 get eliminated. That who's in the 8 spot, by the way?
Orlando. So we could be potentially looking at a situation where, because we've got those last two games with Orlando, but the last game is with Orlando, and if they respectively stay where they're at, we could be turning around and going right back to playing Orlando in the play-in.
Well, no, we don't play Orlando on the plane. 9-10 play each other.
Right, 7-8. 7-8 got to play each other.
Oh, okay, you're right. Yeah. Sorry. And then you get to play at home if you lose. If you lose the game, you play the winner in 9-10 at home.
Correct, yeah.
You win the game, you're in. You lose the game, you're still playing at home.
Yeah, win, you're
Thank
in.
You for clarifying. So the 9-10 winner plays the loser of 7-8. Let's just assume that Orlando and us get in. We're either getting the Celtics or the Cavs. I just wonder, can we give, those are two loaded teams.
You think?
But, listen, we've played,
loaded
teams before. We didn't necessarily beat them, but we certainly made them great series. We're not at our best. Jalen Johnson obviously will be different when he's back.
Yeah, definitely a different story once you bring Jalen Johnson back into the fold. And Richesha now has a full year under his belt, which, he is just... He's starting to really come into his own.
When we watch that Larry Bird episode tonight about the Celtics, let's see how they did things. Yeah. We can help the Hawks.
Just stop with that, will you? Listen, what are you most impressed with Richesha when you look at his game?
It's so finesse. And he's just really starting to dig into his bag. Did you see the move the other night when he's coming up court on the break and he goes behind his back and he's just really starting to get comfortable.
He goes behind his back and dunks.
Dunks, yes.
Yeah.
And he's just really getting,
he's got
you can
a
tell
clean,
he's getting comfortable.
Well, you can't, Fran Tarkenton, famous interview we did years ago when he was talking about Michael Vick, and he goes, you can't coach accuracy. You can't coach accuracy, meaning Michael Vick will never be an accurate passer. Either you have that hand eye or you don't. And that wasn't his thing, is to be a, 60% completion, 70% completion. It's the same as a shooter. You can give a guy 10,000 shots and you can't turn him into a shooter. Richesha can shoot from minute one. We can see that.
Yeah.
And he's only going to get better and better out there.
And has
right?
a great ability to stretch the floor, can create his own shot, get to the rim.
He's a modern day NBA player. And that's exciting. Yes, the Jalen Johnson thing is hurting this team a ton. It's also progressing his career faster, Risa Shea.
Silver lining for sure.
Yes, because those are minutes. Anyways, let me give you our three strikes questions. The favorite animated series or movie, why? Dave Portnoy, Barstool Sports, maybe The Ultimate Kiss.
Oh.
He's on Family Guy episode last Sunday because, what is it, Stewie, they open a pizza place and they're waiting for Portnoy to show up, and Portnoy shows up.
Hey, how you doing? Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports.
Wow, welcome, Mr. Portnoy.
Ah, come on, please, call me Dave. Mr. Portnoy is how I'm referred to in court documents.
Well, we are very excited for you to one-bite review our pizza, Dave.
Whoa, spectacular undercarriage, zero flop, I am hopeful. Oh, this pizza's amazing. Once I post my review, you guys will have a line from here to Boston filled with nothing but UFC fans and insurrectionists. Hey, how you doing? Dave Portnoy from Boston.
Hilarious.
That's hysterical. So, your favorite animated show of all time, or movie. Favorite animated show or movie, all time. The best food that is, quote, homemade. The best food that is homemade. You follow what I'm saying there?
No. How do you want, like my mom's meatloaf
like
that my mom makes at home?
Like homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Okay, different. Gotcha. Okay.
Homemade pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade, what are you saying, meatloaf?
My best mom's food. Meatloaf.
Well, like when Snit's like, this guy's in the back there making everything from scratch.
Yeah.
Right? What did he say? He like takes the order and makes the food. I don't know what it was, but he's still in my head. Brian Snicker talking about Marcello's in Sarasota. And then finally, a good town to move to for business or career, not retired to, a good town to move to. Josh Pastner's getting the Vegas job. He's going to be moving to Vegas, the UNLV job. Great place for kids. Nevada now has come up, hot suburb. Great place for career. So what's a great town to move to for your career? Is that a basic question? Does that make sense or not?
It does. It makes sense how we, yeah.
Okay.
Like if you're going,
like you have to be relocated.
Family,
yes,
yeah.
You're going to be relocated. So, do we phrase it that way?
It's too late. It's in the Twitter sphere.
The best food.
Good town to move to for your business or career, not to retire.
Yes.
Got it. They'll figure it out. People know. 404-726.
So hard on myself.
0929.
I just,
you've had a rough morning, Larry Bird. We got you, playa.
I sent a text this morning. That could have been so much worse.
Oh boy.
To my best friend, and I was like, "Come over. We'll watch this HBO series." This happens to be about
it's the
basketball.
Larry Bird episode.
and it went mistakenly to Day Day and Sandra.
Hilarious.
So you won't let me forget that one. You want to play the Caitlin Clark on Letterman?
Yeah. You guys watch that show. My next guest needs no introduction.
Depending who Netflix. The Letterman guest is.
So Caitlin Clark is coming, I believe it's April 7th, that Monday or Tuesday night. She's going to be the guest. And this was just part of it. She is intense, y'all.
Who taught you to dribble? Because you started when you were 5 years old.
Honestly, I probably kind of taught myself, but like I always wanted to be like my older brother. And I learned to ride my bike at maybe like 3 years old without training wheels, maybe 4 years old. But that was only because my older brother learned that day. And I was like, Mom, Dad, take mine off right now. I'm learning.
Wow. Yeah.
And I did.
Do we have another cut or is that?
No, that's just pulled it.
The cut about her, you sent it to us last night, of her talking about
Halloween.
Halloween was great, but Christmas, she's like, literally, I ruined another Christmas. Like cards. She goes, I can't just play a normal card game and get along with everybody. We have a little, like, I know what she's talking about because there are certain people in the family. And my
friends of ours that Kimberly, you just can't play anything with.
Kimberly's family's big into poke and peg and cards, right?
Poke and peg.
And so, like, there's certain people in the family. It just, I'm not a huge card player per se, unless it's at a casino and blackjack and I'm spending way too much money.
And we're screaming.
Right? Yeah. But
she tells a story about Halloween, you guys, that literally she ran. Oh, she was so competitive with her siblings and other friends. She wanted to have the most candy. So she ran away from her father. And her father, they're all at home looking for her. She comes in with the biggest bag. And she's
right.
like, yeah.
She's,
so,
and by the
too
way,
bad. I got the most candy.
Having three kids, I know exactly what she's saying. She's sprinting house to house.
To get
she
it.
Said, she said, I had to have the biggest bag. Like, literally, the expression now for the money is the bag. I need the, you need the bag, the big bag. She's like, I needed to win Halloween. So my dad lost me. Mom's like, you lost your daughter. She was bolting house to house. And she goes, I would show up and I'd have the biggest, I'd dump my bag out. But I mean, telling. And she said, you know, I have to calm down because it's just everything is winning. Everything is winning. So I thought that was a great cut you sent us last night. The new, do you know who else are going to be guests on that Letterman show or not?
I don't know the whole season. Okay. Do you watch that show?
I watched the first season or two. I didn't think he was doing anything or interviewing anybody that I didn't think he interviewed as compelling as a lot of other folks out there that do better, right? I'd rather hear Conan O'Brien. You ever listen to his podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend?
Drew Butler told me to start listening to that.
I mean, you talk about a great podcast. That guy's super talented. All right. You understand what I'm saying? Let's play along. Give us your favorite animated series or movie, the best food that is, quote, homemade, and a good town to move to if you had to relocate, business, career. What would be a good example? I noticed on the that they were running spots. I don't know if it's on our station or I think it was might have been our station, whatever, about Wisconsin. Like telling people like wholesome, great cost of living, great sports towns like Milwaukee, Green Bay, all this, like coaching people like this is a great place if you're thinking about, you know, because a lot of people leave in Florida too, trying to figure out where to go, right?
Let me tell you, Milwaukee, Wisconsin was one of my favorite road trips.
Underrated.
With the Braves. Pittsburgh. Food.
Pittsburgh
is good.
And Milwaukee, hugely underrated.
I agree with you. Milwaukee's one for me, for sure.
404-726-0929.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a great ballpark, huh? In Milwaukee.
And when I was there, downtown. It was really brand new.
They
so
do a
fun.
Huge, Andy Rosenberg used to live. They do a huge music festival in the summer that goes on for days.
And there's beautiful weather and low humidity.
You know, the drafts in Green Bay this year, you know that, right?
Yes, Lambeau Field.
Hey, Alex in Atlanta, give me your favorite animated series or movie.
Of course, it's got to be Lion King.
The best food that is, quote unquote, homemade.
Gumbo.
Oh, good.
Great call.
Good one.
9 out of 10 gumbos at a restaurant. I'd say even more. 19 out of 20 gumbos at a restaurant are a fail. You agree?
I agree.
A good town to move to for business / career family.
Well, I'm going to say Atlanta, but we in Atlanta, so I'm going to have to go with New York.
All right. Greg and Kennesaw, the favorite animated series or movie?
Maybe the OB, Beavis and Butthead back in the day.
Well, that's a great call. I don't know if that was the show, but think of those back in the day, South Park. Beavis
and Butthead was so controversial, though. If you go back and watch it now, I'm like, God, that aired? Even Family Guy, I'm convinced FCC doesn't watch Family Guy.
The best food...
I'm sorry.
Best food that is quote-unquote homemade.
Can I give you two steak? Chicken and dumplings and warm banana pudding.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen. Pudding. That was excellent.
A good town to move to for business / career. Family.
Yeah, first it came to mind, I think, from a banking standpoint, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Big banking town. Yep. Downtown's getting better. Cost of living pretty good, right?
Great call.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. Anderson in Douglasville. Favorite animated series or movie?
Lion King.
Best food that is quote-unquote homemade?
Peach cobbler with extra crust.
So hungry.
A good town to move to for business, career, family.
Daytona Beach, Florida.
Daytona Beach. Okay.
I mean, maybe retired at Daytona Beach or I don't know. Is there a lot of business and career stuff happening?
Yeah, surfing. Surfing companies. Braiding hair.
I'm going to give.
Jet skis.
Yeah.
Marijuana.
In terms of quote unquote homemade, I'd say meatballs and lasagna.
Perfect.
Right?
Yep.
You don't order lasagna at a restaurant. You let your mama make that. I know there's some good ones.
Sirico Fresco's
lasagna.
Lasagna is
okay. Maybe we'll have it tonight when you come over to watch the.
Can't wait, y'all! It's the Larry Bird episode.
Just stop it.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Day Day. Andy and Randy are next. We're back tomorrow. Bye.
Jay, that's a tuna or something. Jay, look at it. Come on.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.